Quad Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
Hi, I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Today, we have a special guest. So please stay tuned, get your ears ready, because he's going to talk about how God takes you through when you don't expect it and how to finish strong. Maybe some of you are feeling weak in your life and you don't know how God could ever use someone like you. Well, Joe Jackson is my guest. He's been an 8-year veteran of the NFL, playing for the New York Jets and the Minnesota Vikings. His story is incredible. He wrote the book Championship Sunday, An Uncommon Pursuit of a Dream. Joe, welcome to Encounter.
Thank you, Judy. It's great to be here. Good to hear your voice.
Well, it's nice to have you here. And I know that folks would love to hear your story and how God took you from a little home in Cincinnati and made you an NFL football player. And I know that you probably have lots of miracles to share, don't you?
Well, God is good. And I mean, you can't know the Lord and walk with the Lord and not have anything exciting and miraculous to share, can you?
No, you can't. So tell us about your life.
Okay. It was a dream come true. I grew up in Cincinnati, as you said, and my dream was to play professional football. Didn't know if I was going to get the opportunity or even make it, because the kids that we ran with, we all had that dream. We wanted to be baseball or football or, you know, some kind of professional athlete. And it was exciting for me to have that opportunity to play with the New York Jets and the Minnesota Vikings, especially the Vikings, because I always admired their defensive line, Eller, Page, and Marshall. And it was really special to line up with guys that I looked up and admired, wanted to be like, you know, when I was a kid. So that was indeed a dream come true there. And of course, you know, playing with the Jets, they had a great quarterback and they just won the Super Bowl, Joe Namath. And that was special as well. So I thank God for the 8 years I had. I wish I could have had some more time, but God is faithful. He has a plan. And I just was honored to be a part of that and to have football as sort of a stepping stone. God used football to open doors for me in terms of ministry, in terms of my faith in Jesus Christ. So I thank God for the progression, and I thank God for his plan for my life. I believe that we are all destined for God's greatness. So
you grew up in Cincinnati, you lived on a little street, had a lot of friends and stuff, but you felt inferior. Your self-esteem was like way down there, wasn't it, Joe?
Well, you know, I wanted to be liked, I wanted to be loved, and I wanted to be accepted. And the problem with me was that I was so different, I thought, because I was older than the, or not so much older, but I was bigger than the other kids, you know, the kids that we played with, the kids that we hung around with. I was always taller, I was always heavier, and so I just had a struggle in terms of liking myself, in terms of thinking that Joe Jackson had any value. You know, it was indeed special. I received affirmation and love from my parents, but really I gleaned in what my friends thought about me. If they thought I was cool, if they thought I was, you know, someone special, that meant so much to me. So I guess there was a struggle there with a sense of value, devaluation, you know, in terms of my self-esteem. And it was something that I had to deal with, that I was different, but still special. So that's basically the message I try to get to people today. Regardless of what you think you look like, regardless of what your history has been, regardless of how many times you have even failed, God has got a phenomenal plan for your life. And you can walk in his destiny. And it's so important that we come to that point in life that we realize that God's plan is a plan that can give us the fulfillment that this world cannot give.
So what you're saying, Joe, is you can still finish strong even though you've gone through a lot of failures.
You sure can. you know, failure is not failure, nor is it final unless you don't learn from it. And I've learned from some life lessons, some bad choices in which I've made. You know, it's never too late, I believe, to make a good choice.
Tell us about some of the choices that you made when you were young that you thought you'd never live through.
Well, my main problem, again, stemmed from a lack of self-esteem. So you make choices that you think will make you feel better about yourself, will make you feel loved within your friends. You want to be somebody thought of as special. And I just crossed the line, you know, in terms of decision I made.
For example?
Well, almost going to reform school because stealing cars. And I remember the judge had told me that if I stole another car and got caught, then I was going to BIS. BIS simply is Boys Industrial School in Lancaster, Ohio. And I had every intention not to do that. But I got to hanging around with my peers, my friends, and, you know, and I can't really blame them because I made a choice and ended up stealing another car, got in trouble again. And I should have went to reform school, but the judge put me on house arrest for 3 months and he gave me one more chance, stating that if I ever did anything like that again, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it, I was going to reform school. So, number one, that got my attention because I wanted to play college football and I was getting some offers from colleges who were interested in me. But if I stayed on that path, I knew one thing, that those opportunities would not be there.
Wow. So you went to college when you were 18 and you wrote about how you just didn't, you had mixed emotions about that.
Well, you know, college was a place that I really never really thought about. My thing was high school and then professional football. But at that time, you had to go 4 years of college, or if you didn't go to college, you had to wait 4 years after your high school graduation to think about playing football, professional football.
So where did you go to college and what did you major in?
I went to New Mexico State in Las Cruces, New Mexico. I majored in English.
You became an English school teacher, didn't you, Joe?
I taught English for about 5 years after I retired from football, and it was really a trying experience because I had such a fear also of public speaking. And now you got to call the roll, you got to give a lesson plan, you got to read from Dante's Inferno, Oedipus Rex, the Iliad, and things like that. And I was just saying, Lord God, I just can't do this. We know my history, we know how I've struggled with public speaking, I just cannot do this. And, you know, the Lord just sort of whispered in my heart, my spirit, trust me, Joe, you're going to see my glory. So for 5 years, I taught school. And then after 5 years, I was cut from teaching because they closed some high schools, some junior highs, the last hired, the first fired, so to speak. So at that time, God said, okay, I've got you ready, and I'm going to launch you on another path. And that was to be, I started out singing gospel music, started singing with the Gaithers, and just getting in front of people, introducing acts, artists. And that whole 5 years of teaching and then working with Rainbow Productions, it was just part of God's preparation for me to do the work that God has called me to do today. And that is to share my faith, to share the word of God as an evangelist. And I'm the least likeliest person to do that. Again, because I had no confidence in public speaking. So,
yeah, that's amazing that God puts us in situations where we're like, oh, me, God? Why am I doing this? What did you say I was going to do?
Yeah, it's just truly God's grace and God's mercy and God's plan. And I had to stay faithful to it because there's many times I just wanted to walk away. I just wanted to do something else. You know, I couldn't see this day. I've spoken all over the world, every state in the United States, all over the country. The church evangelist at one time of the largest assembly church in America, the Phoenix First Assembly, the Pastor Tommy Barnett was under him for almost 30 years. But never have dreamed anything like that would ever happen to me. But it's God's grace, it's God's mercy, and this is a journey that he's had for me, and How can you not get excited about that?
How can you not get excited? So, Joe, you went to college. You graduated from New Mexico State, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened then?
Well, like I said, I was drafted into the NFL. I played with the Jets and the Vikings.
I played
college football for 4 years, so that was a preparation for the NFL. But my dream was always on the NFL.
On the NFL.
Yeah, but like I said, you had to go to college to get that opportunity. You had to play 4 years. I think it's NFL football.
Yeah.
You only have to play 3 years. So then I was drafted by the Jets, traded to the Vikings, and then cut by the Vikings, then passed the physical. Doctor said, son, the x-rays of your left knee reveal gross degenerative arthritic change. Your career's over with. So it's like, what next? So that's when I started teaching high school for 5 years there. And then I've been on the road as an evangelist since 1984, full time.
Wow. Wow. So we're going to hear your story of faith after we take a break. But first of all, your book is called Championship Sunday. How can people get a copy of it?
Well, it's easy. It's really easy. You can go to my website, joejacksonministries.org. Or you can go to all the websites, you know, Amazon, Kindle, or, you know, wherever you find Barnes & Noble, wherever you can find books. But my website, joejacksonministries.org, you can pick up a paperback or a hard copy from that.
Joe Jackson is my guest, and maybe you remember him when he was part of the New York Jets or the Minnesota Vikings. God has used him in a mighty way. I'm Judy Redlick. We're going to hear his story of faith, how he became a Christian, right after this break. This is Encounter. If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlick.com or email me at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com. This is Encounter. My guest today is Joe Jackson, who spent 8 years in the NFL, and he wrote the book Championship Sunday, An Uncommon Pursuit of a Dream. Joe, tell us about your story of faith. How did you become a Christian?
Well, I grew up in the church, but that doesn't really matter. I went to church every Sunday, 12 years old. I came forward, and Judy, two things happened to me. Number one, they baptized me. And number two, my name was entered in the church roll as a member of Second Trinity Baptist Church. But really nothing happened to me on the inside. And for the next, I guess, 6.5 years, I just brought my street attitude and street character into the house of God, but really only had a razor-thin veneer of Christianity applied to the surface of my life. I was lost as a ball in high weed. So I was in college my freshman year. I was 18 years old, and I was walking home from football practice. There's so many things that are attached to football in terms of my faith. It's just amazing. Walking home from football practice, a kid named Ken Johnson approaches me, and he says, hey, big man, have you got 5 minutes? I said, what's the deal, brother? He said, here's the deal. He told me that God loved me, had a great plan for my life, and he told me that because of sin, there was a chasm, there's a separation, but no problem, because Jesus was the bridge over that. I said, my goodness, man, this smells like religion. I don't want anything to do with that. But he said, no, I'm talking to you about a relationship that you could have with God. And I understood the concept of relationship with teammates and friends and family members. I never heard a relationship with God. I never heard that concept. But it sounded like something that wasn't threatening. It didn't sound like religion. So anyway, he prayed for me, and I prayed with him. And I accepted Christ as my Savior right there on the road in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And there were no lights. There was no sound. There was no thunder. I didn't get knocked on my hindquarters. I just continued to go to the cafeteria where I was headed. But God had sown a seed in my life, in my heart. I had a grandmother that was praying for me. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous person has much power. And she prayed in spite of my poor decisions, in spite of the heartache and the heartbreak that I caused my family, the embarrassment, the choices I made. She didn't give up. She just pressed on. And I really believe it was the prayers of my grandmother and my father and mother that just didn't give up praying for me. Didn't look at my circumstances and say, my goodness, this guy, his head is hard. He's not going to get it. He hasn't got it. So let's pray for somebody else or let's pray for something else. But they pressed on. They didn't give up. They didn't let go of the dream, let go of the vision that one day that God was going to save me. And it was through the ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ at the height of the Jesus movement, an incredible dispensation of the outpour of the Spirit of the living God on young people, where tens of thousands of young people all over North America, Europe, became Christians. It's just phenomenal, the Jesus movement. So I was saved under that dispensation, and it was a great, obviously, outpouring of the Spirit of the living God, but a lot of young people got saved as well. My friends back in Cincinnati, they had gotten saved. So it was tremendous.
So that's pretty challenging to think about, okay, God, now my life is totally being turned upside down. Where do I go from here? How did you start sharing your faith? Or did you?
Well, I learned first. I had to get some word in me so I could produce some fruit. And I just sat under a discipleship team. I was involved with Campus Crusade. I was involved with the Navigators. I was involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. That really resonated with me, the FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, more than those other ministries, although they were great ministries. But being an athlete, a Christian athlete, I could relate to that. So I had to get some word in me. I went to conferences. I didn't start sharing my faith right away. I mean, I did, but basically it was a testimony, told people what God had done in my life and what he can do in your life. So I didn't know I was going to have this ministry that I have now. It was basically telling my story, telling what God did for me, and also that God loves you. And God desires to have a relationship with you. So that's how it started with me, Judy.
Yeah, so many people don't realize how much the Lord loves them. And telling people that is so crucial. We just had a sermon in church yesterday about that. It was like, yes, that's true. We need to tell people God loves you for who you are. You know how I got saved? It was someone told me, God loves you for who you are and not who you should be. And that really blew me over. It took me 3 or 4 months to really get it to the point where I accepted Christ as my Savior.
Yeah,
even though I'd gone to Christian schools and church all my life. Yeah, isn't that amazing how Jesus loves you is such a powerful phrase.
It is.
What would you like people to take away from this show, no matter where they are in their life? Maybe some are struggling as young people. Maybe some grandparents are struggling to find identity still, or parents. Or what would you like to have our audience take away?
Well, you know, we all struggle. We all fail. And like I said before, failure is not failure, nor is it final unless you don't learn from it. And I've learned some things in life that have helped me not make the same bad choices again. And regardless of what your background has been, regardless of what your history has been, you are not some wild onion growing on the side of a hill looking for somebody to like you. You are not the pollination of two bees buzzing around a flower looking for somebody to pick you. You are not an accident. You are not a loser. You are destined for God's greatness. God has an incredible plan for you, regardless of your history, regardless of what other people say, and regardless of the facts. I always said that there's a marked difference between fact and truth. I believe facts are based on experience and knowledge, but truth is birthed and schemed and derived, and thus saith the Lord. So regardless of what the world says, God says that you are special, God says that you're destined for his greatness, and God desires for you to be his champion. That's the truth from the Lord God that I believe is speaking to your heart today, right now. You can be a winner. You can be destined for greatness. You can be an overcomer. And life is about finishing strong. I believe that with all my heart, finishing strong. A great start is good, but sometimes you don't get a great start. It's how you finish. It's getting up from a fall. You get knocked down, for goodness sakes, you get back up. You walk again. You might be on that Jericho Road right now. Everybody's passing you by. I mean, the church is even passing you by. Here comes a priest. Here comes, you know, we know that story, the Good Samaritan. Everybody just passes you by. But you don't have to stay on that Jericho Road. You can get up, and you can get to the place that God has for you from the foundation of the world. And that's the neat thing about the relationship with God. Wherever you're at in life, man, you can just call his name, and he's there because he's real.
Joe, would you pray for people that might be on the fence today that are listening to this show?
Oh, yes. Father, we know that there are no accidents, Lord. We know that the devil wants to sift us as wheat. And God, there are people out there that are wondering, do I have a chance? You know, does God love me? Can I make it in life? Can I overcome the failures and the fears and the defeats that have defined my life? But God, we know that you are real. We know that you are a God of a second and a third and a fourth chance. We know, God, that regardless of our circumstances, Lord, that circumstances can never circumvent what you have for us, your plan for us, your love for us, Lord. So, God, I'm praying for that one or that two or how many people right now are just, I'm on the fence. I got one foot in the world, one foot in the church, one foot in something else. God, we need to make a commitment, Lord. We need to get off the porch and off the fence. So, Father, you can only do that, Lord. I pray in your love, in your forgiveness, Lord, that you draw them to you. And, Lord, I am so thankful that you're going to do this. Your word assures us. So, God, that's the hope that we have. And in some of them, it's going to be done today, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus' name. Joe Jackson is my guest. Joe's had an interesting life playing in the NFL for 8 years. Where do you think we stand concerning civil rights?
Well, we've come a long ways since Jim Crow and racism, the Ku Klux Klan, separate but equal. We have come a long way, but there's still some ways to go. You know, racism is it starts in the heart, and God can change a heart. Laws change how people are governed, but Christ can change the heart. We can only have a change of heart when Christ comes in and begins to plant his seed of love, his seed of forgiveness, his seed of hope that can destroy some of these walls that continue to separate us and define us. So, yes, we've come a long way, but we have a ways to go. And it's not a political way. It's not a Republican way. It's not a Democratic way. I'm not going to let politics define who I am. I really am not. You know, people say, what party are you? What party are you for? Well, you know, I'm a part of the sanctified party. I'm not going to allow my views politically shape me. And I refuse to do that. So I believe the answer is simple. It's the thing that happened to Paul. He saw a light. He didn't like Christians. He wanted to kill them. He wanted to stop this movement. But God stopped him right in his tracks, and he became Paul from Saul. So it's a spiritual transition that has to take place when we accept Jesus Christ. God loves us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And you know that, Judy, that everyone who calls upon his name shall have everlasting life. So it's simple. But people don't want to do what's simple sometimes. So my advice is to allow Christ to come in and to occupy and to fill your life with the love and the hope and the forgiveness so we can move forward in this world. It's not going to happen, again, politically. I don't believe that. It happens when Christ does a work in a person's heart.
Yeah. Joe Jackson's my guest. I'm Judy Redlich. We've been so enjoying talking with you, and I'm praying that our listeners will just melt because of some of the things that you've said and come to Christ. Yeah. And those who are Christians will witness to others about your love and your mercy and your grace.
Yeah.
Joe, how
That's
can
right.
people get a copy of your book, Championship Sunday?
Yeah. And also, if there's any churches there or pastors listening, they can also contact me on my website, joejacksonministries.org. You can find my website. You can find my email. And we can make a contact that way. If you want to do a men's event, preach Sunday morning, I'm available.
You can get a hold of Joe Jackson, get a copy of that book, Championship Sunday. And if you want him to come and speak at your church, you can get a hold of him. Joe, thanks a lot for being my guest today on Encounter. And may Jesus Christ help you make a new encounter with him today. Okay, sweetheart, I've turned on the nightlight, and here's Teddy.
Grandma, I love it when you tuck me in. You're my best friend. Don't ever leave me. I love you.
Electronic Caregiver helps seniors maintain independence and safety at home with their medical alert system. The smart wristband provides telehealth, medication reminders, and personalized messages. If an emergency occurs, loved ones can call for help by pushing the button. More information from Cheryl Wilson at 314-312-0034.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. Encounter, hosted by Judy Redlich, was produced and first aired on KSIV Radio, part of their Bot Radio Network.